This is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, May 18th. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And I'm Kyle Kellums. We'll begin the show today with Congressman Steve Womack. He held a public forum last night in Rogers with Beaver Lake property owners, most of whom who claim to have conflicts with the way the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is managing the lake. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich was at last night's meeting, and she has this report.
Northwest Arkansas residents, by and large, pay for the privilege of living along the forested rocky beaches of Beaver Lake. Property values tend to be high, and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers work to keep the shoreline looking wild and undeveloped. It's charged with maintaining the White River system of lakes for flood management and hydropower. By law, residents adjacent to the lake cannot remove rocks or any vegetation, even fallen trees, from the water. Paths to the water can only be 6 feet wide or less and must meander. No structures can be built or lighting installed. That's because the Corps has purchased permanent easement along the shore up to 1,128 feet, what they call a fee boundary, and a little above that, a flowage easement, when the lake rises to maximum storage level. Boat docks are strictly vetted, regulated, and only allowed in certain zones, and the public by right has access to the entire boundary area. Certain residents are angry by all these rules, so U.S. Congressman Steve Womack invited them to a public hearing.
I've called it a tsunami of complaints against Corps subjects. Then it might be better to kind of get ahead of that curve, ahead of that wave, and call a public meeting, invite members of the Corps of Engineers to the area, to the table, get residents invited to the table, and kind of air out our differences, albeit in a civil way, and see if we can produce some information that would be useful to all persons interested, and at the same time maybe prevent a few things down the road from happening as a result of a lack of understanding or miscommunication.
And because he's aware congressional public forums like these around the country in recent years have become unruly, Womack admonished the crowd.
It's not a debate, it's a dialogue, and that second bullet is really important to me. Since I've been serving in Congress, there have been times I have been ashamed at the debates that happen on the floor of the House of Representatives. Not that we disagree with each other, but how we disagree with each other. And look, if we can't be civil, we don't really belong in here. So that's one of the requisites of this meeting tonight. If you're going to speak, I want you to be civil.
Womack then went on to introduce various Corps agents who provided a history of the lake, why it was built, regulations necessary to keep it functioning. And Sean Harbor, who works out of the Corps Rogers office, explained the shoreline management plan.
And the idea is that it was supposed to be a balanced approach, you know, kind of balancing what people would like to do versus protection of the shoreline, you know, conservation of the lake for the long term. That's the idea behind the document. And it's been modified over the years. You know, it's been around for quite a while.
The document was last revised in 2008, utilizing public comment to balance public versus private rights. But this meeting of Beaver Lake landholders was the first of its kind, and many had things to say. One man showed two indexed binders of Corps citations and complaints.
A good example of the way this Corps of Engineers operates is the way the government has operated in the treatment of our Native Americans. It's just a constant erosion of our rights. And I think this is something that our congressmen should look into. Thank you.
We didn't make this up and say, here it is.
Wait a minute. Who made the regulation? The Corps had to. Somebody with the Corps made the regulation. Don't come here and say, we just manage it. How many here are happy with the way the Corps operates? Raise your hand. How many people are real happy? That's two right there. That's good. Y'all are doing good. Two more than I thought.
Beaver Lake's government boundary is very uneven rather than a simple contour around the lake. Starting in 1978, after the reservoir was built, the Corps surveyed 483 miles of shoreline, eventually installing monument markers and posts on an estimated 900 real estate easements along the shores. But residents complain that the 50-foot riparian buffer is so restrictive they can't enjoy the lakeshore. One woman said her boat dock had been confiscated because the Corps claimed it was not in compliance. Buildings constructed by unwitting owners have been condemned and torn down. Others have had to pay fines. So after hearing from many of his constituents, Congressman Womack said it was time to establish a continuous dialogue between the Corps and the public to create a balanced approach.
I think we've made the point that there are some things that you're prohibited from doing, they need to go back and revisit. And if there is a compelling reason why it shouldn't be done, then they need to explain that reason. And if that's going to be a regulated type activity. But if there's not a compelling reason, they ought to be willing to change that regulation and give you the opportunity to enjoy the benefits of some of those freedoms. All right, let's go over here to this gentleman.
Representative Womack even offered his help as a U.S. legislator, if need be, to tweak some laws. Barbara Cossack, a resident for 30 years, said her shoreline is littered with submerged dead trees from the historic ice storm of 2009, as well as flood debris from 2008 and this spring, which the Corps says she cannot touch.
So I said, we'll go down and clean it up. We'll pull the logs out, or we'll shove them back in the water, whatever you want us to do. Can't do that. It's Mother Nature.
By law, residents cannot move one stick of wood from the shoreline or the water. But after hearing Cossack's situation, a Corps official said they would give her permission to burn. Also prohibited, but in her case, they would provide a waiver. Deanne Edwards, who lives on Beaver Shores, says she's been terrorized by drunks, drug users who congregate on her dock, and gangs who vandalize her property. Drinking is illegal on the lake. She's filed complaints to the Corps, who pass it off to the Sheriff's Department.
And they just kind of drop you.
She said a fence would resolve the problem, but fences on Corps property are prohibited.
So it's all enforcement. And the problem the Corps tells me is they don't have the staff to enforce it. Well, if you don't have the staff to enforce it, you either need to close it off or get rid of the rules and let somebody else take care of the shoreline that will enforce it.
Edwards, who's a realtor, said she'd like to move, but by law, she has to list any nuisances on her property, which will make selling her lakeside home impossible, she said. Bill Lithfield, who lives in Montanay and heads a homeowners association, said the Corps is difficult to work with, but he hopes after this meeting, things will change.
I'm glad to see a person like Steve Womack coming in here, and he's such a fine person. I wish we had more people like him. We wouldn't have the problems that we have in this country if we did.
Property owners were invited to visit with Corps officials in person after the forum, and Congressman Steve Womack said the Corps needs to pay much more attention to them and would do itself a big favor by calling more public forums like these, which he offered to host, time and travel permitting. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
You've heard people say, that which does not kill you makes you stronger. Really? Really? On the next Snap Judgment, from PRX and NPR, Blood and Faith. Stories about that leap people make when everything they know is on the line. Get ready.
Snap Judgment is part of KUAF's new Saturday lineup, and it begins at 1 o'clock. A meta food bank of sorts, the Northwest Arkansas Food Bank, is the leading hunger relief organization in the region. The food bank recently received a $15,000 grant from the Crafts Food Foundation. Ozarks at Large's Ithia Agnihodrima-Dolker has the details.
Serving over 100,000 people in Northwest Arkansas each year, the Northwest Arkansas Food Bank helps feed the region's hungry with the help of other nonprofit hunger relief organizations. Lana Harris, Director of Development for the Food Bank, says the organization has been around since 1988.
We are the only food bank in Northwest Arkansas. We serve Benton, Carroll, Madison, and Washington counties. Each year we provide food to just over 100,000 people. So that is one in four people in Northwest Arkansas who are receiving food from us. We work in partnership with 132 agencies that distribute that food for us. And those are agencies that are church food pantries, nonprofit daycare centers, after-school programs, senior citizen centers, places like that. that provide food to hungry folks here in Northwest Arkansas. And that food comes from us.
Since the food bank provides support to other smaller organizations, Lana says support from the Northwest Arkansas community is crucial to the food bank's efforts.
We do. We have a lot of individual contributions. We also do an annual fundraiser gala event in the fall that is our one signature fundraiser. And then we also write grants. We get a lot of grant funding from various corporations and foundations that allows us to be able to keep our doors open.
The Northwest Arkansas Food Bank recently received a $15,000 grant from Kraft Foods Foundation through Feeding America, the nation's leading hunger relief organization. The foundation is making close to $300,000 in similar grants to grassroots organizations across the nation. The grants are expected to help them improve facilities and provide more food and better services to their communities.
The grants that they were offering at the time were for capacity building for food banks to allow us to provide more food and serve more people. And we recently built onto our warehouse, we added 10,000 square feet to our existing warehouse so that we could handle more food. We give out 2010. In 2010, we distributed over 5 million pounds of food, and that was a 43% increase over the previous year. So as we began to see our demand for food go up, we also had to increase our capacity for food. And we were able to do that through grants and contributions. We were able to pay for that expansion and not have to borrow money or anything like that. And the $15,000 that Kraft Foods gave us, we used to install our lighting, fans and heaters so that we can have climate-controlled storage. And they took care of all of that with that $15,000 grant for us.
Apart from monetary contributions from corporates and individuals, Lana says the community can also help the food bank by sponsoring food drives and volunteering their time. The support would help the Northwest Arkansas Food Bank reach their goal of being the leader to end hunger in the region.
That's our ultimate goal. How we work to achieve that goal is to make sure that we have nutritious food that we can distribute to people who are hungry. And we do that day in and day out. Obviously, with the economy and the situation that it's in, the rising cost of gasoline, we're seeing more and more people. And so it's harder and harder to reach that goal, but we work diligently to make sure that we still are able to provide nutritious food to folks in our community.
More information about the Northwest Arkansas Food Bank is available on nwafoodbank.org. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Iti Agnihotri Mudholkar.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And I'm Kyle Callums. The Northwest Arkansas theater community today is mourning the loss of Kathy Mellinger. She was driving a car that was struck by another vehicle, which was driving the wrong direction on Interstate 540 early Sunday morning. Kathy had worked as a stage manager with Theater Squared. The accident also claimed the life of Sean Philip Mabry, an actor who had been on stage with many area theater groups. Theater Squared has canceled Saturday's stage reading performance of the Poe Show, which was to be part of the new play festival. Ticket holders for the Poe Show will be offered an exchange into any new Play Fest event this weekend and may contact Walton Arts Center box office at 443-5600. All other new Play Fest readings and events will continue as scheduled. Theater Squared, Dance Party, and Funbags Comedy Improv have also announced that all ticket sales from the Improv Showcase on Saturday will benefit Sean's family. Sean was a founding member of the Dance Party Improv Troupe. Tickets for the Improv Showcase and for the full 2011 Arkansas New Playfest can be found at theater2.org.
The new owner of what had once been Dogpatch USA is now considering what to do with the property in North Arkansas. The theme park, based on the Little Abner comic strip, was closed in 1993. Earlier this month, a judge ordered the deed to the property to be turned over to a 23-year-old who was nearly killed at the site in 2005. Pruitt Nance had been given permission to ride an ATV through the area when he struck a throat-high cable that had been strung between two trees. When the owner didn't pay a damage award, the property was turned over to Nance. Now his father, Stuart Nance, says they're considering what to do with it.
Well, it's a beautiful natural resource, and the first thing we are going to do is just try to preserve what is there, and then start thinking of ideas over what we can do with it in the future. We don't have any plans at this stage. We're just got plenty of suggestions. The phone's ringing a lot. There's a lot of people calling and making ideas and suggestions that are worth considering.
Nance says today the former Dog Patch property is an eyesore with very remnants of the former theme park. He hopes to find a way that the public can once again enjoy the scenic property.
The Benton County Disaster Center is open in Bentonville. The center, which opened at noon today, will also be open from 8 a.m. until 6:30 p.m. tomorrow and is at the Shoemaker Center for Workforce Technologies at Northwest Arkansas Community College. The center includes representatives from FEMA, the U.S. Small Business Administration, and other agencies to offer help to people affected by recent flooding. The center will also be open May 31st through June 2nd in Bentonville. Dates and times for other disaster centers to be located in Washington, Boone, and Madison counties will be announced shortly.
SeaChange, the region's first nonprofit management certificate program, has received a $20,000 grant from CARE Foundation Incorporated. The grant will, in part, underwrite the training costs for nonprofit managers whose organizations need financial support to participate in the SeaChange program. In March of this year, SeaChange launched its first six-month program that offers integrated training and management certification for middle and senior-level nonprofit managers. Future rounds of trainings are also planned. More information is available at c-change.org.
The University of Arkansas Sustainability Consortium is welcoming a new member. Turtle Mountain, a company that produces dairy-free foods, is the latest venture to join the consortium, operated jointly by the University of Arkansas and Arizona State University. It includes companies such as Walmart, Best Buy, and Procter & Gamble. It's designed to establish more sustainable practices at participating companies. Turtle Mountain is based in Eugene, Oregon. The Arkansas Razorback baseball team will head into this week's series with Ole Miss with another win under the belt. Arkansas defeated Tennessee Martin 6-2 last night in Fayetteville. Arkansas's regular season ending series with Mississippi begins tomorrow night at Baum Stadium. And the Northwest Arkansas Naturals lost at Tulsa last night, and with that setback, fell to a half game behind the Drillers in the Texas League North.
Lifestyles Incorporated, a nonprofit based in Fayetteville, Arkansas, is likely to save money on its future energy costs. As our energy correspondent Christina Thomas reports, the agency recently received an energy makeover.
Lifestyles, founded in 1976, serves as an alternative to group homes and institutions for individuals with disabilities and special needs. Dottie Haddle says that the founder of the organization wanted to focus on the lifestyle of the people that she was already working with, thinking about the lives they could have when they grew up. The organization helps individuals obtain employment with some clients at their jobs now for over 10 years. Other clients participate in a College for Living program, teaching them math, reading, and health and safety skills. Dottie explains how the organization also assists individuals to learn the abilities needed to live on their own.
So we started an independent program. We have apartments across the street there where we have 16 individuals learning independent living skills, cooking, cleaning, money management, and running through personal plans to help them achieve their goals of independence. As they start gravitating through the different phases of elevated of responsibilities, they move their own apartments with continued support from staff that's assigned to them to assist with those medical appointments or meal preparations or room checks and things like that.
Because the waiting list for their apartments was getting long, Lifestyles purchased three sets of duplexes for individuals that do not need quite as much support as others. They attempted to blend into the neighborhood while providing a small community for their residents. It is in one of these duplexes that members of the Arkansas Energy Corps met with John Kurtz of Suncoast Energy Systems to perform energy assessments as well as the necessary energy upgrades.
Good morning! So kind of what our game plan is for the day anyway, is we're going to do a real quick an assessment, for lack of a better term, on this side. On the other side, we need to go ahead and seal the ductwork itself. And what we'll do is we'll seal that, then we'll scrape the plates back where the walls come up into the attic, and then we'll seal all those penetrations where, you know, the electrical comes through it and the plumbing comes through it and all that kind of stuff. And that'll be what stops that air movement from moving in that wall. We'll blow the attic with cellulose and test out. So we'll find out exactly, we'll be able to know exactly where we ended up after we performed all the work.
Upgrades performed by John and the Energy Corps members will save lifestyles, both on energy consumption and utility bills, about 30%. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.
It is Wednesday, May 18th, 2011. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda. And joining us now is Becca Bacon-Martin, editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
And I'm the girl with 1 foot out the door. Because in a week and a little bit, I'll be in New Orleans.
Oh, yay.
So, you know, that's what I'm thinking of.
Your favorite city.
My favorite city. But tonight, I want to give you a couple of great choices because we're not out the door yet. If you heard the Festival Orchestra last night, the Artisphere Festival Orchestra, tonight you can hear Daniel Snyder, who was there playing jazz sax. Mm-hmm. Daniel Snyder and Friends in Concert. Also part of the Artisphere Festival, 7 o'clock at St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Fayetteville. Free.
It's amazing.
And the Texas group Turnpike Troubadours.
I love the name.
Is, as the name implies, cutting across the country, and they'll be here in Fayetteville tonight for a show at George's Majestic Lounge. They're supporting a 2010 release called Diamonds and Gasoline. Tickets to the 8:30 show are $7.
Which one costs more right now?
Oh, I know which one I like better. That's neither here nor there.
Okay. Oh, there you go. Becca Bacon-Martin is the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers. This is Ozarks at Large. All week, we're including poems from a creative writing class at Fayetteville High School in our programs. Linda Brothers' class wrote poems using the theme of nature as third place. The exercise was part of Poetivity, which in turn is part of Walton Arts Center's Artisphere Festival, a six-week-long event that merges nature and art. Helping with the poetry portion of the festival is the Northwest Arkansas Writing Project. Chris Gehring is the director of the Writing Project, and he was at Fayetteville High School last week when the students in the class read their works.
I would just also venture out there to say that I'd really like to see more people be exposed to poetry just every day. You know, what if we, when we went to the supermarket, there was a poem sitting there. What if when we drove down 540, of course, out of Fayetteville, where there's the no billboard zone, but you know, up on the other part of this area, or down below somewhere, there was a poem on a billboard. You know, that you know, 5, 7, 10 words could really change our attitude, our outlook, our perspective on life, and I think that's the beautiful power that poetry has.
Here is our latest effort to spread poetry, and if you're in your car, you don't even have to take your eyes off the road. David Ferris, a junior at Fayetteville High School, wrote a poem about an escape found in the Ozark Bluffs.
It was the place, the one retreat that we all had. We went there for a reprieve, a hideout place to just unwind. Sure, it was dark and damp, smelled like dead people, it was kind of cramped, and it didn't have a TV. But it was ours. Some of us got wasted, some of us played music, and others went there to just be there. Our summers revolved around this place. No malls to distract us, no movies worth seeing, no school to busy us, just our secret place. We may not have been born there, lived there, or even made anything of ourselves there, but it was our home. The cave was our nirvana. It was like we could just go there and flee from the reality that is the world. Our mothers may have given birth to us, but this was where we came to life.
David Ferris is concluding his junior year at Fayetteville High School this spring, and he wrote his poem as part of an exercise in Linda Brothers' creative writing class at Fayetteville High School. He says he plans to make a career out of writing. This is Ozarks at Large.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. In early June, 14-year-old Jacob Elzer will travel to Washington, D.C. to compete in the Scripps National Spelling Bee. Ozark's largest Jacqueline Froelich met with him and his mother at their Fayetteville home to talk about the achievement.
The Elsers' beautiful home, located in the rolling hills of East Fayetteville, is guarded by a funny little dachshund with blue eyes.
This is my dog, Blue. He's a miniature dachshund. We named him Blue because he has blue eyes, and he's about a year and a half old.
Does he help you study?
Not lately, no.
Jacob Elzer is an eighth grader at Woodland Junior High School, where he excels in algebra, history, and science. But he's also an accomplished athlete with a clear advantage. He's already 5'10" tall and lanky.
I play tennis and I run cross country. And my favorite sport to watch is probably football. My favorite NFL team is the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I actually got to go to the Super Bowl this year.
And right after this interview, he's trying out for the high school tennis team. His mom will take him.
I'm Janelle Elzer, and I'm a stay-at-home mom, and my husband is Mark. He works at Tyson, and I have my son Jacob is 14 at Woodland, and my daughter is 12. She's in sixth grade at St. Joseph's.
Janelle read lots of books to the children when they were little.
They've both always been good readers, and every grade that they've been in, the teachers really promoted reading, and I think that just helps ignite their love for reading. So I think the best way to learn the words is through reading.
Jacob started reading on his own in kindergarten, he said.
I liked the Nate the Great books when I was little.
Nate the Great, Boy Detective, is a juvenile fiction mystery and detective series, been around 30 years. Maybe that's why Jacob enjoys the details. He intends to go into science, precisely medical science, when he grows up, he said. But for now, aside from sport, he devotes an hour every day studying for the Scripps National Spelling Bee.
Well, in first grade, my teacher noticed that I was a good reader, so she put me on a challenge word list that were harder words than the normal list.
In other words, his teacher had spotted a speller, a young person adept at spelling complex words, which led to Jacob signing up to compete in his grade school spelling bee.
At my school spelling bee in third grade.
And what happened?
I got out in the third round.
Meaning you lost in the third round.
Yes.
But yet you went back for more.
Yes, and then fourth grade is when I won my school spelling bee, but I didn't do very well at county. Then in fifth grade, I won my school spelling bee, and I won county, and I did okay at state. I got to the sixth round. And then the next 2 years in sixth grade and seventh grade, I got second place. I won my school spelling bee, and I got second place at county. And this year, I won my school spelling bee and county, and then I won state. So I get to go to nationals.
In Washington, D.C., to the Scripps National Spelling Bee. There, he will be joined by 275 other spellers, age 8 to 15, from across the country, as well as Canada, China, Ghana, Jamaica, Japan, New Zealand, and South Korea, an almost equal mix of boys and girls. They will start with preliminaries consisting of a 25-word written test and two rounds of oral spelling on stage. 60 will make the semifinal round, with winners going on to the championship finals Thursday, June 2nd.
I mean, they vary a little bit, but usually it's an oral competition where there's a pronouncer that asks you words. And in most spelling bees, it's single elimination, so if you miss one word, you're out, and whoever, after everyone else is eliminated, will win.
Jacob's quest for the title is being sponsored by the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and until recently, his parents have been his coaches.
Well, with the Scripps spelling bee, at the beginning level, they have list words that they use. It's about 1,100 words that come from 14 different language bases. So you just rattle off the words and they memorize them. And then as you progress on, they go off list, which could be anything out of Webster's Third Dictionary. So
which weighs about 12 pounds.
Yeah, which is huge. So we don't really crack that book too much. Yeah. But as he's progressed now going to nationals, they have provided a second list. And so he basically will learn the material on his own, and then we try to just quiz him over it. But recently, the words he's studying are so much more difficult. I have a hard time pronouncing some of them, so I get laughed at a lot. Like, that's not how you pronounce that, Mom. So mostly he has to study on his own and memorize at this point.
Jacob shows two of his study guides, one looking slightly shredded.
Well, Blue kind of got this one a little bit, but besides that, here's the Spell It notebook. This is the one that has about 1,100 words.
Give a couple words that are in there.
Croquette, physique, deluxe, impasse. Some of them are harder. Mm-hmm. Taupe, chauvinism, croissant, lieutenant. Mm-hmm. Those are French words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the trickiest ones, at least in the spell book, are the German words because they pronounce differently than they look. So you might say Vadel, and it actually starts with a W. So those are the ones for Mom and Dad that we have to really pay attention to what we're giving him.
And have you learned a lot of words? Has your language and your vocabulary expanded?
Mine definitely has. Originally with the original lists, with the lists he's on now, I try to sound. You have to learn the diacritical markings on how to pronounce the words, because it would really be bad if I kept mispronouncing the word and then he got it in a competition and didn't recognize it because Mom always said it wrong. Yeah. And we almost had that happen once. So.
Yeah.
And what's this blue notebook?
Oh, this is the notebook they give you for nationals for rounds 2 and 3. There are 400 words in alphabetical order.
And where are you up? Like, I see the markers in there. Is that how deep you are into learning the words then?
No, I've pretty much learned them. I'm just kind of reviewing them.
And name a couple words in here. This would be more advanced, yes?
Yes. Geriatrician, glabrous, glaciarium, gloxinia, gnosis, Grassel, guttural, haplology, Haridon.
Wait, what is haplology?
It's a contraction of words by the omission of one or more similar sounds or syllables in pronunciation.
Spellers are a smart breed, and nationally competing spellers catch a lot of attention from local media and peers.
I've had a lot of people talk to me about the spelling bee, and a lot of even people I don't know, hey, you won the spelling bee. And some people just asking me words like, hey, can you spell this or that? And I do. It's pretty funny.
So how does Jacob think he'll do?
My goal is to at least make it to the semifinals, which is the top 50. Because if you make it to the semifinals, you get on ESPN.
The sports channel, any athlete's aspiration. About to enter high school, Jacob still enjoys reading, but these days his tastes are ranging toward journalism.
I read the newspaper every morning.
Mostly the sports section, over breakfast with Dad. And just in case, the Elster family's been shooting home video to cut into any national coverage if Jacob wins. They leave May 29th for Washington, D.C., where their Scripps Spelling Bee hosts have lined up a week of fun activities for all spellers and their families. Reporting for Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
If Jacob Elzer wins the Scripps Spelling Bee Championship, he'll be the second Arkansan to ever do so, following Justin Tyler Carroll of Wynn. He won the Spelling Bee in 1995. To see how you might score, you can take the test yourself and meet all the 2011 Scripps National Spelling Bee competitors at spellingbee.com.
Last week on Car Talk, you missed a brilliant demonstration of first-rate diagnostic skill.
You press the little button, the door opens, you get in the car, and the things don't work anymore.
Right. Is that true, Allison?
Yes.
All right, so now what? Now that you yelled at him for 10 minutes, what is she going to do about it?
I don't know. Don't lock the car.
For more clear and concise car advice, join us this week for Car Talk.
Car Talk every Saturday morning at 9 and again Saturday afternoon at 3 on KUAF 91.3 FM. This is Ozarks at Large. Time for a question and your chance to win tickets to the next two Artisphere Festival Orchestra performances, Saturday the 21st at 8 p.m. and Sunday the 22nd at 5 p.m. Just heard about the Spelling Bee,
mm-hmm.
and Jacob, who will be competing in the National Scripps Spelling Bee.
In June.
So the question today revolves around a winning word from a past National Spelling Bee. The Scripps Spelling Bee in 1931 was won by Ward Randall. Mm-hmm. And he correctly spelled to win the word foulard.
How do you spell that, Kyle?
Yeah, I only know because it's in front of me. F-O-U-L-A-R-D.
Okay.
So we're not worried about the spelling.
No.
But if you can tell us what foulard means, your correct answer would go into the ceramic cow. Here are the choices you have. Is a foulard the pedal that's found on a spinning wheel? Is a foulard a piece of lightweight fabric, such as a tie or a scarf? Or is a foulard an instrument for measuring the velocity of blood flow?
If you have an answer, give us a call at 800-522-5823.
All correct answers go in the ceramic cow. The winning two answers. We're going to give away two sets of two tickets each to the 21st and 22nd Artisphere Festival Orchestra performances at Walton Arts Center.
So two chances to win, so good luck.
Time for the answer. The question was, foulard, the winning word in 1931's Scripps Spelling Bee. What did it mean? The choices were the pedal on a spinning wheel, piece of lightweight fabric, or an instrument for measuring the velocity of blood flow. Antoinette Grajeda, what is a foulard?
It is a lightweight piece of fabric.
So congratulations. We'll pick a couple of winners for Artisphere Festival Orchestra performance tickets soon and give you a call.
Local support for Ozarks at Large comes from Westwood Gardens, offering a variety of Westwood-grown annuals, perennials, and hanging baskets. Four locations in Northwest Arkansas, 442-3500 or westwoodgardens.com. Support is also provided by Clubhouse Fitness, located on Dixon Street in Fayetteville, and offering outdoor training groups, cycling studios, ergonomic-free weights, plus cardio and strength training equipment. Membership information and more available at clubhausfitness.com or 287-HAUS.
KUAF and the Wakarusa Music Festival invite you to register for the Wakarusa Getaway Giveaway. One lucky winner will receive 2 4-day passes plus general camping at Wakarusa. The Outdoor Music Festival is June 2nd through the 5th on Mulberry Mountain near Ozark and will include over 75 live performances, camping, frisbee, golf, fishing, and more. Bands scheduled to play include My Morning Jacket, Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, Toots and the Maytals, and many others. The drawing will take place Friday, May 27th. That's a week from Friday during the noon edition of Ozarks at Large. Visit KUAF.com to register. Please, just one entry per person, and good luck.
Serving as your NPR affiliate for the past 26 years, this is KUAF Public Radio, 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Wallula.
Wallula?
Wallula.
Where is Wallula?
It's just a little north of Ozark.
So if you won the Wakarusa contest, you could perhaps go to Wallula.
Why not?
All right. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Another brand new show tomorrow at noon.
Have a good day.